Hi, everybody, and welcome back here for another short little bite-sized weekend podcast. Hope this one finds you well. And I want to talk to you about the narrative and what it actually means to stand against the narrative. Okay, I want to chat to you about that. Now, before I do that, I want to thank Quantum Hypno for sponsoring my podcast. It's deeply appreciated. And if you want to help me, you can do that by subscribing over on my Substack. You can buy me a coffee here. There's different things you can do to help support this output if you think it's worth doing, that is to say. Okay, standing against the narrative is never easy. And, you know, essentially we are constantly sent tests to see will we cave or will we actually stand against it. And as you know, many of us came together when the COVID nonsense was being relentlessly pushed through. And in my case, I was taken off Twitter because of my complete contempt for lockdowns, for mask wearing, for all the rituals of COVID back in 2020. I was allowed back 2 years later, but I lost 2 years of commentary because I opposed the narrative. And it didn't end there. You see, this is the thing. Some people think, oh, well, you know, you stood against COVID, so you're a good boy. So that gives you 10 out of 10. No, it doesn't. It doesn't give you 10 out of 10. It gives you 1 out of 10 because it's okay, maybe 5 out of 10. You actually did stand against it. But there's more psyops come our way all the time. You know, no sooner had the COVID thing more or less run its course than Ukraine. I stand with Ukraine. Slava Ukraine. So Putin is Hitler. That was the next psyop that came our way. And then when that one kind of, well, they're still trying to push that one. But of course, we had on October the 7th last year, we had the whole Israel-Gaza thing kick off. And again, you were presented with choose a side, choose a side. And the narrative was, of course, that, well, it depends which side you listen to, isn't it? But there's at least two different narratives. I don't particularly want to go with either of them. As it happens in any of these situations, I don't want to be divided. Now, the question then brings us to the biggest psyop in recent times, and that is the Princess Catherine one. Now, I see people saying, "Well, David, you know, look, don't be so heartless. You've been told the narrative, just accept it." Well, you'll pardon me if I turn around and say, no, I'm not prepared to do that. Do I wish Princess Catherine and King Charles well? On multiple times, I've made it clear I absolutely do. I just don't believe the narrative. Now, actually, when it comes to King Charles, I do believe the narrative, to be fair. Because that's the narrative there was very, very simple. He went in to hospital, for what appeared to be a prostate exam or a prostate operation, which are minor things, right? But apparently when they did the op and opened him up, they found cancer. And we were told that straight away. We've been told that the king is getting cancer. By and large, I'm prepared to go with that. I don't think that he doesn't have cancer. And I'm not sure what kind of cancer is he may have. Some people speculate it may be pancreatic, which is bad news because, you know, the survival rate from that is very, very low. So that would be very sad if that's the truth. I hope that's not the truth, actually. But when it comes to Princess Catherine, the narrative has changed so much that only a fool would go with the narrative. And I'm not going with the narrative. So as you know, we were told, and it's all been, we're absolutely being hammered over the head with this one. She went in to hospital for abdominal surgery, kind of unexplained. We don't really know what that was for, on the 16th of January. And then we discovered that, rather like with Charles, she was treated, she was given the operation, whatever that operation was, I don't know. And towards the back end of February, it was confirmed that she had cancer and she's now being treated for cancer. That's the narrative. And with all due respect, I find that implausible. I find this whole thing so very weird. So let's just, consider some of these things, if you will, and tell me if I'm mad or if more likely these are reasonable questions. First of all, we're being asked to believe that it took 6 weeks for them, the doctors, the finest doctors in the country, to identify that Princess Catherine actually had cancer within her. Now, she'd been operated on the 16th of January. They do scans, they do biopsies. And I've had people coming on to me in social media and say, listen, saw a lady come on to me in social media and said, listen, her mother went into hospital, same situation as Catherine. Within 2 weeks, they came back to say that they had discovered cancer. 2 weeks. And that was a member of the general public. How much more do you think it is for the royal family? Why did it take so long? So I just don't buy that. And I know some people are saying it's below you to say these things, David. But no, I'm asking a simple question. That's all I'm doing. Why did it take so long? And then we have had doctors and so on and so forth in other places outside of the UK saying that this doesn't make sense. The timeline doesn't make sense. So that brings us up to her, Princess Catherine's, a speech to camera, which was produced by BBC World, by the way. You want to Google BBC World. And, what do I think about that? Well, I think, the narrative is that we need to leave her alone and we need to leave William alone. I'm broadly speaking okay with that. Again, yeah, I'd leave anyone alone if they've got cancer and they need time to recuperate. So I don't have a problem with the leaving of them alone. But I don't know why they couldn't have been honest with us from the beginning. After all, King Charles was honest with us from the beginning. The other thing is that, King Charles, if he's getting the same treatment as Princess Catherine, and I don't know because they haven't told us exactly what type of chemo treatment they're having, but he doesn't look so bad on it. And sort of very tragically, I thought she did look pretty bad in that video that was put out. And I know people have done all kinds of analysis over the video. I have seen all the analysis over it. I've seen all the rabbit holes people have gone down. But if you just take it at face value, she is speaking to camera. Not sure where the microphone on her is, mind you. But she's speaking to camera and obviously, reading a prepared script. And she looked very upset to me. So I think that the video is probably genuine. But then again, we were told that the Mother's Day photograph was genuine. We know that it wasn't. And we know that we definitely know that the Windsor Farm Shop video was completely disingenuous because it wasn't either of them. It was a pair of actors. So, if those of us who question those things are being, attacked on social media, which we are, because we're standing against the narrative, so be it. I don't care. I'm only trying to be consistent and logical, trying to be caring. Yes, as I say, as everyone else, I hope that she makes a full recovery. Now, she did push the vaccines, as did William, as did Charles. They all pushed the vaccines. And we know that turbo cancers are a consequence, an adverse reaction of the vaccines. There's no denying that either. Again, if we say that, we're not being cruel. But, actions have consequences. And I don't know, did she take the vaccine? I don't know. Did Charles? Can't be sure. Yes, we've had video image. I think there is images of them being given something. But what that something is, who knows? It could be just fundamentally, salt and water. Or it could be the toxic brew. We don't know. I think it's unusual for 42-year-olds to get cancer, or at least it used to be. But of course, we're reassured that in 2024, it's super duper normal for everyone to get cancer. Yeah. Which, of course, as I said in a previous podcast, why the likes of Pfizer and Moderna, the people who brought you the COVID mRNA jabs, are going to bring you a cancer mRNA jab. And honestly, you should think about that. You should ask yourself, that's weird. you know, I mean, back in March, this time 4 years ago, when they locked us down, celebrities getting COVID was seen as part of the necessary precursor to the thing that they did. And now it appears we have celebrities getting cancer. So listen, don't be afraid to stand against the narrative. And don't worry about the fact that people are going to attack you because you're not believing everything that the media and Kensington Palace are telling you. You've got nothing to be ashamed of.